the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into Bet the Board, the first regular season edition of our traditional time slot here on Thursdays. We look ahead to the upcoming weekend. Of course, Thursday night football highlighted by the Bills and Jets. Our interview with Dave Mason, like always. But more importantly, the incomparable Payne Insider to provide all his analysis. And Payne, you might have done the only smart thing of anybody in this fine country, going to sleep before being exposed to Rams 49ers on Monday night.
It wasn't very difficult. It was strategic. It was prior proper planning. I knew what I was going to see, and I didn't want to see that. Specifically, when I look Tuesday morning and I see everybody's power ratings have moved the Rams as much as 3, 3.5, and 4 points in 1 week. That's a bit much, so I'm glad my eyes didn't witness that. I think that's probably too large of an initial move after 1 week's reaction.
Now, you did watch the Redskins and Steelers game. Wanted to get your thoughts real quick on that one before we put a nice tidy bow on week one and shift our focus to the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, and this is a team we weren't high on coming into the season, went under 7.5 wins in a big way. We thought the schedule got much tougher. They didn't do a lot to improve in the trench area. And that showed its head again on Monday night. Could not stop the run, could not run the ball offensively. Kirk Cousins, we'll see. He's got some money now, but he's looking for a long-term contract. It looks like every single throw was big to him. He was dumping him in the dirt. He was throwing him high. Will that pressure get to him this season, looking for a big contract?
I just want to know the Redskins' defensive game plan. Rashad Breeland over Josh Norman covering Antonio Brown. Maybe you can shed a little bit of light on that.
Not going there with my analogy that we texted each other before. But, yeah, not good from him. And obviously Josh Norman was a little disappointed. It looked like and it sounded like Antonio Brown was a little disappointed too. But not only did Breeland struggle in pass coverage, he could not tackle a cold either. He had trouble stopping the run in that regard. The defense looks like it has some issues. They called in some guys from the waiver wire this week. They know they will need to be able to stop the run. Brought in Cullen Jenkins to kind of beef up that defensive tackle unit.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It'll be curious to see how that Redskins-Cowboys game goes this weekend, one we'll get into in a little bit more detail. The voice you're hearing, Payne Insider, you can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Todd Furman. Of course, the podcast, at Bet the Board Pod. If you haven't visited the brand spanking new website, BetTheBoardPodcast.com. And Payne, you mentioned waiver wire additions. Well, we have a guy we thought might be on waiver wires, but he's become a fixture on this show. So I want to welcome him in now. Dave Mason, you can follow Dave on Twitter, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And Dave, we want to know, how'd the opening weekend go for you guys, the quote-unquote bad guys behind the counter?
The action was great. I mean, we're really happy with the action. I'll come back. As far as wins, losses, it was a small, small win for the house. Nothing to write home about. There are some big winners for the house. Started off great with the Broncos winning outright and covering, obviously. That was a huge, that was the biggest winner for the house. 49ers was good as well. The players profited on Pittsburgh and Houston. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth. It's pretty choppy. I mean, you look back at Sunday, and outside of the Sunday night game, the two biggest decisions were the Packers-Jags and the Giants-Cowboys, and they were massive decisions either way, and they both fell on a number, so you know, you wipe those two out. Those two go in the favor of the players. They would have had a massive Sunday. If they went in the favor of the house, we would have won a lot. So, you know, we pushed. Everybody got their money back, and we moved on. So that kind of, you know, they kind of gave Sunday kind of a, you know, back and forth, not much of a profit.
Well, with all that extra money then that the players have in their pockets from two pushes on the biggest decisions, how have you guys seen the NFL action coming in so far this week?
It's coming in fast and furious. I think more people are looking at our opening odds on Sundays, and we're seeing a lot more action coming in on those early openers, which is good. As far as the public, they're on the Jets tonight. We got about 72% of the money's on the Jets so far. The Packers on Sunday is going to be a big one again. About 81% of the early money's on the Packers. Lions, 86% there. And the Patriots again. So they're loving those favorites again. So the action's coming in great, but of course, game day, all the, you know, 80% of the action will be coming in. So
and you mentioned
a little bit.
And you mentioned you know, the Jets game. Have you guys seen any sharp action in the Jets? We know we've seen that game ping pong around quite a bit, right around one. No, you guys opened it a little bit higher than that. Of course, Payne and I will offer our thoughts at the end of the podcast on that particular matchup.
Yes, we have seen some sharp action on that. We got hit right away. We opened 3 on Sunday, and that got hit right away. By Monday morning, it was down to a pick, I believe, and right now, I mean, the sharps hit it from +3 down to a pick, and right now we're looking at the Jets -1. So, yep, there was some sharp action on that as well. Lions -5.5 is sharp, and Ravens Browns under 43 is sharp. That's at 42 right now.
And Dave, while I know all of our listeners appreciate the great information, you know, the real reason we bring you on is for you to offer up all the goodies to them that they may want to start an account at BetOnline, reload an existing account. What kind of promotions can our Bet the Board listeners expect this weekend?
All right, we have the bonus still out there for all your listeners. If you're a newbie, if you do not have a BetOnline.ag account, head over there, sign up for an account, use promo code 75BTB to get a 75% welcome bonus. If you already have a BetOnline.ag account and you need a reload and you haven't claimed this reload yet, use 50BTB for a one-time 50% reload bonus. Both of those, you can get a max bonus of $1,000. So that's pretty high up there. Some books you'll get, they'll give you $200-$300. That's it. We're going to give you $1,000. All the terms and conditions and can be found at promotions.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
Dave, always a pleasure. Appreciate your input on this. Looking forward to another big week, and I'm sure we'll see some interesting line movement as we approach a full slate of games on Sunday, especially as a lot of the players overreact to some of what they may have seen week one.
Yeah, guys, and just one quick last thing. Just looking at these odds, I mean, I think a topic of conversation next week is going to be how we did on teasers. A lot of 6, 6.5s out there, so people love to tease those. So the teasers could make or break our weekend this weekend.
Thanks, as always, Dave, and people can follow you on Twitter at DaveMasonBLL. We'll look forward to hearing how the weekend went and getting you back on same time, same place next Thursday, my friend.
All right, fellas, good luck this weekend. Take care.
Payne, you heard Dave mention teaser liability, and it's something that we talk about, you know, every now and again through Key Numbers, getting some of the big favorites down into what we'll call a pick'em type scenario. We talked about over adjustments on particular games. You mentioned specifically the Rams and Seahawks. Normally, we like to go in rotation order, but let's start right there. I know BetOnline doesn't have a number up on Seattle, LA, as we wait status of Russell Wilson. See some books here in Vegas hanging that number at 6. Let's offer some thoughts there and try and explain to people maybe they shouldn't overreact or in some cases underreact to what they saw week one.
Yeah, I mean, again, I didn't watch the game live, went back, saw some of the All-22. We're obviously not high on Jeff Fisher. It's pretty obvious. This is a team that took a lot of under money at 7 due to relocation, due to extreme travel, 32,000 miles. So in general, this is a Rams team that we have been down on. When you look at this, I saw a lot of power numbers come out this week, and a couple of the guys that I spoke to are really down on the Rams. They've moved them as much as 2.5. 3 points, some even 3.5, some even 4 points. I think that's just way too much. I think when you look at some of these numbers, you have to say to yourself, how much can you move a game off 1 week? And I think 3 is just way too much in this case. I think when you look at this game specifically, you're going to see an offensive line for Seattle that has been abused over the course of time. And definitely when they face this Rams defensive line, there's a reason the Rams have won 3 of the last 4 outright. So when you look at this number, I've seen some places, as you alluded to in Vegas, as high as 6.5, some even 7. I think that's probably going to be a little too high.
And when we look at these two teams, like we say all the time, It's not the easiest thing to do, but you have to have a short memory in some regards. Last year, at this time, we were talking about the Vikings being a dumpster fire themselves, having lost to San Francisco. Not quite as in as depressing a fashion as what we saw from the Rams, but as you recall, the Vikings went on to win their division. I'm not saying the Rams are going to do that, but may offer some compelling value this weekend. Now, as we look at the rest of the slate of games, Payne, Kansas City and Houston, we know the Chiefs fought back valiantly down 17 points in the fourth quarter against the Chargers to get that win. A little bit of playoff revenge on the minds of the Houston Texans. We've seen this number open 1.5, BetOnline currently 2.5 minus 20, total in this game 43.5. What are your initial takeaways from the Brock Osweiler debut and what we may be able to expect from the Texans, knowing Kansas City probably won't be able to put the same pressure on Osweiler they did Hoyer in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think obviously Brock Osweiler, to me, started a little slow, but he actually ended up having a very nice game, and you alluded to this, the 30-point playoff revenge. Kansas City went into Houston for that wild card game last year, and from opening kick dominated. They shut out Houston in that game. This game specifically has been circled. It's been the talking point all offseason. One thing, when I went back, watched the All-22 of the Chiefs game last week, without Justin Houston, this team struggles getting to the quarterback. They go from being a very good defense to a below-average defense without him. You dig a little deeper into these numbers. The starting defensive ends for Kansas City last week had 51 pass rush attempts. They did not create a single pressure. And yes, the Chargers offensive line is a little revamped, but no one is going to confuse them with the brick wall of China. So that's going to be the key in this game. Can the Chiefs apply some pressure? Is that defense going to step up? You lose Sean Smith as well in that secondary in the offseason to Oakland. This Chiefs defense definitely takes a step back.
I believe the brick wall you're referring to would be the Great Wall, but you know I don't like to correct Florida State guys.
That's
I know
true.
Sometimes history and geographic features can be a little bit confusing for you folk.
Yeah, that's true. It's all about one thing for me. That's winning football games.
That's the name of the game, and whether it be an American Greenbacks or Yuan, it'll still pay just the same when you talk about the Chiefs and Texans. Right in your backyard, you talk about a team without a pass rush. New England didn't show much bite in that regard in their win against Arizona. I still believe it was as much Cardinal ineptitude as it was Jimmy Garoppolo with a strong debut. Miami had a chance to beat Seattle, let a glorious opportunity slip through their fingers. Schedule makers, of course, doing them no favors. Go traveling to Seattle, now to New England, where you're looking at the Dolphins as a 6.5-point underdog at BetOnline. Total at 42, but we are seeing some books start to trend up. What do we make of the Dolphins, and can they wipe themselves up off the mat and maybe steal a win from a perennial division power?
Roughly 8,200 miles traveled in a week. So you kind of put that into perspective. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they travel 5,200 miles the entire season. Miami hasn't won a game in New England since the infamous Wildcat game in 2008. I want to look at some of today's practice reports because it looks like a few guys are down on the Dolphins defensive line. Right now, it looks like 5 healthy guys. You need 8 to play the game. They called in some help from the waiver wire. They brought in Chris Jones. People thought he might make the 53 roster initially, but they called him back. He's a former Patriots, so that might be part of the reason why. Devontae Parker has practiced but is questionable. Adam Gase has said that he won't play him till he's 100%. Is this the week the bubble wrap comes off? Not really sure there, but Parker is imperative to this offense simply because he creates the space for this mostly underneath passing attack of the Dolphins.
What do you think of the Dolphins' ability or inability at stretches to run the football? Do we think that's going to be a strength of theirs moving forward as long as Arian Foster is able to stay on the field? And do we know any more about the potential availability of Jay Ajayi?
No, the Dolphins have not been able to run the ball forever, and that's kind of the common theme here. They will need Jay Ajayi back. Supposedly, the coaching staff scolded him last week because he was throwing a temper tantrum about not starting. They wiped the slate clean in week 2. Let's see if he makes the roster this week, and he's going to play, and he'll be on that 53. That will be interesting. But this is a team in general that has had issues running the ball. Adam Gase had some success in the first half, kind of went away from it in the second half, if you look at all the numbers, and basically became this pass attack. We know one thing with Adam Gase is that passing game is an extension of the running game. It's a lot of dink and dunk. It's a lot of stuff to the backs. He's come out and been quoted as saying, listen, the NFL now is a 5 to 10 yard passing league. So his run game is kind of an extension of the pass game. The key here is if Parker comes back, that allows that Patriots defense and Bill Belichick, who you know will have a great game plan, not to be able to key on Jarvis Landry, and maybe you get that short passing attack back with Jarvis Landry this week.
And you mentioned this before we kind of close the book here on this particular matchup. Line at 6.5. Do we think we see sevens, or are we more likely scenario the number takes down to 6?
Not 100% certain here. Obviously, with a lot of professional bettors, there have access to outs that allow them to acquire a cheap 7 here, very similar to if it went to a natural 7 across the board. I am not sure the books fully go there to 6.5. I think there's still question mark in the general public about Rob Gronkowski. I obviously don't think he's playing this week. If that becomes public knowledge, maybe we see that number tick down a little bit slightly.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting to keep eyeballs there. Obviously, the Patriots don't feel this is a must-win in week 2. You want Gronk healthy without that hamstring injury lingering. You mentioned the league transitioning more towards a 5 and 10 yard passing league. Well, there's one quarterback that made his NFL debut last week that seemed to excel in that range. Problem being is they didn't get their best weapon involved in the offense. Dez Bryant, 1 catch for 8 yards, I believe. Dallas, we'll call him a 2.5 point underdog at BetOnline. Number definitely trending towards 3, as you have to lay $1.25 on the Skins. Washington, we know their performance, short week, division rival. What do we make of this particular matchup?
Yeah, we kind of alluded to this in the intro. The 2015 Washington team, they couldn't run the ball at all. They were 29th overall, 3.7 yards per carry. Defensively, they could not stop the run either. 31st overall, they allowed 4.8 yards per carry. Monday night, the same thing happened. Gave up nearly 5 yards per rush attempt to Pittsburgh. They only gained 55 on the ground themselves. This team is going to have to toughen up. They're going to have to cut down on the mental mistakes, especially when you're welcoming Dallas here. It's a physical offensive line. I think there'll be a chip on their shoulder. Zeke Elliott only ran for 2.5 yards per carry. So I think that offensive line kind of puts this game on their shoulders. Way too many passes for Dak Prescott. 45 attempts last week. They never trailed in that game by more than 4. I'm not sure why they didn't run it a little bit more. Again, we alluded to this. The Redskins know what they're facing here with this Dallas offensive line. They brought back Colin Jenkins this week. Hopefully that beefs up the defensive line a little bit. Where this game goes, I'm not really sure. It looks like, again, it's trending towards 3. Dallas looks like the public underdog here. So nothing for me right now at the current stage.
Should be interesting to watch this number develop. We did see, as you mentioned, it go from 3 to 2.5. Now looking like it's starting to settle in at 3. You can back the dog. Minus $1.15 at some shops. Bet online, as we said, 2.5 minus -0.25 on the Washington Redskins. Two division rivals renew some hostilities. We know how Cincinnati's season came to a premature end last year at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the infamous playoff collapse. The Bengals do get the services of Andy Dalton back in the fold. We saw A.J. Green go absolutely bananas last week on Revis Island. Feel like Antonio Brown had to try and match him catch for catch. Pittsburgh, on a bit of a short week, you're looking at the Steelers right now, a 3.5 point favorite at BetOnline, total here 48.5. How do we begin to assess these AFC North rivals and what we should expect in what arguably might be one of the best games of the weekend?
Yeah, the question here becomes, is Pittsburgh just better? Are they elite? We saw last year in the playoffs, Big Ben, who was playing at 70% at best, he gets re-injured during the game to boot, came back out. There was no Le'Veon Bell in that game. There's no D'Angelo Williams in that game. It was just a mash unit. They go into Cincinnati and win. So, again, is there just too much difference in quality here for the Bengals to overcome a team sharp guys were down on a bit this year coming in versus Steelers team where sharp guys are extremely high on them? Andy Dalton is going to have to make those big plays down the field like he did against the Jets. If you look at his down-the-field passing numbers, they were elite last week, a perfect 4 for 4 on passes over 20 yards, went for 190 yards total and a touchdown. We know that's where the Steelers' defense is a little bit susceptible. Can he replicate that showing? I won't be on this game as I look at it right now, but I think there is going to be an appetite from professionals on the dog here. If you can get a cheap 3.5 and that becomes available, It's starting to trend that way a little bit. And one key here is I just have a tough time in general looking at a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, and a team looks like world beaters attempting to back them the next week. There's going just to be that little added premium. So for me, I can't even look at Pittsburgh in this spot. And again, if this gets to a normal 3.5 where you're looking at 3.5 minus 10, I think you'll see an appetite from professional bettors on the dog.
And it's interesting you mention that because the Steelers, how quickly we become enamored with the final score. But we texted throughout the course of the game. Washington goes up 6-0. They have a chance for what could have been a scoop and score. Or if worst case scenario, Kerrigan falls on the football, Washington has the ball with a chance to go up 2 scores. Instead, it becomes a 14-point swing for the Steelers. Bounce balls all over the place. And from that point forward, things start to break the way of Pittsburgh. Now, maybe their offense got on track, but we talk about it all the time. You go through these games and you watch more footage than probably anybody out there aside from coaches. It's 2 or 3 plays that swing the momentum in a game, and Pittsburgh seemed to get a lot of those plays, which changed the outcome, although they were the better team for the better part of 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, without question, Pittsburgh was the better team. They deserved the win. In the second half, it was absolute domination. But you start that game, it's 3-0 Washington. A very, very easy pitch and catch from Kirk Cousins to Jamison Crowder, and he dives one into the dirt. So you pick up a first down there. You're likely walking into the end zone for a touchdown. Ryan Kerrigan creates the sack fumble, does not fall on the ball, tries to pick it up. If you get a score there, at minimum, you're looking at 13-0, potentially 17-0. And the entire game reflection just completely changes. On the other side of the ball, you get Big Ben rifling one in there straight off Breland's chest, pops in the air, and there Eli Rogers is. So the ball just didn't bounce the way of the Redskins early on, but they were dominated after that point. But probably a little inflation on the Steelers in terms of how they looked, especially late punching a late touchdown in there.
Well, from inflation to maybe some deflation taking place out in the desert, Arizona, a 6.5-point favorite playing host to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Total in that game, 50 at BetOnline. We talked about how good Tampa looked in their season debut game that we obviously were bullish on, giving it out on a podcast, +3 watching that close 2.5 and never really having to sweat. Arizona, on the other hand, struggled mightily in all facets of the game. I don't think you solved their secondary woes overnight. I'm not quite sure Tampa can do the same thing schematically defensively without as much time to prepare as New England. But what do we make of this matchup that we covered briefly on Monday's podcast?
Yeah, we really touched on this Buccaneers team. And again, I'll hit it again. There are practice players, and then there are guys that just show up on game day. But for 90% of the league, you play how you practice. And you could just tell it was going to be a big year for Jameis and Mike Evans, how they handled their offseason. And sure enough, they have a monster game. The question mark still is the secondary. When you look at Matt Ryan, he only attempted 3 passes deep down the field. So the new guys were not tested back there. Vernon Hargraves was not tested back there. Brent Grimes wasn't really tested. He gave up a touchdown to Sanu. The one thing the Cardinals have is a deep passing attack. They have big, big wide receivers. And so that could present a little trouble here. The Cardinals, though, I have to see what's going on because it's been the case all preseason. They've looked horrible. They looked horrible again on Sunday night against the Patriots. And again, I think it was more to their doing than the Patriots. Not to take anything away from them, but the Cardinals looked ill-prepared. I just have to see what's going on. We did see this number, open 7, trickle down to 6.5. We've seen some of this game jump back up to 7 in some places. I just don't love anything about this right now at all.
And like we say all the time, you don't have to have a strong opinion on every single game. I know a lot of our listeners have offered feedback wanting us to give a pick, break down every single game. The unfortunate part is that's not what this podcast is all about, guys. We're here to give you some of the best information, stuff that you can move on as soon as you listen and take full advantage of it, and we'll let you know when there's any strong sentiments on a particular game. A game that we mentioned on Monday said if you liked a certain angle on the total, you should get out ahead of the market. Indianapolis and Denver, you're looking at the Broncos, a 6-point favorite now. Total 46.5 at BetOnline. We talked about this on Monday. The total was 45. Andrew Luck, according to Pro Football Focus, graded out the highest-rated quarterback last week in the NFL, seemed to regain that confidence on the deep ball. Colts offensive line showed a little bit better. Extra time for the Colts and some footage to go through for Trevor Siemian. What do you make of this game, Payne, that you've had time to dig into it a little bit more?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from the Colts game is let it fly. So now, early on, they may try to save their defense again with that ground and pound. They were semi-successful when you look at the yards per carry, but on the scoreboard, not so much. Andrew Luck, as you alluded to, most efficient quarterback in week one, and shockingly, some of that praise goes to the offensive line. Every single player on that offensive line, except their right tackle, graded out positively. And when you dig a little deeper, Luck was only pressured 29% of his dropbacks. To put that in perspective, his career mark is roughly 40%. So that offensive line was big, and they're going to have a strong performance again this week. You talk about Vaughn, Ware, and Ray. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see. We hammered this Broncos offense, and we talked about how they didn't go vanilla for Simeon. Kubiak's entire playbook was available. And that was against the Panthers. And so I think when you look at a much, much lesser defense with this Colts unit, we see why this total has gone from 44 to as high as 46.5.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what the line does as well. Some books open this price as low as 4 out to 6. I just have to wonder if Denver can really attack the Colts secondary the same way we saw from Matthew Stafford. But Andrew Luck seems to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. We know he'll be out to prove that he was worth that franchise-changing contract. So one of the more intriguing games of the afternoon slate. From there into the Sunday night game, where Green Bay goes on the road to open up a brand spanking new venue in Minnesota. Still some speculation about who will be the starting quarterback for Mike Zimmer at Minnesota. If you read the practice report, Sam Bradford taking all the reps with the ones. No reason to believe he won't be the guy under center. You're looking at the Packers, a two-point road favorite in this one, total 43.5 at BetOnline. Green Bay, despite winning in Jacksonville, Payne, not all that impressive, and Minnesota's offense clearly struggled. That 25-point explosion, quote-unquote, against the Titans, very much aided by two defensive scores.
Yeah, I think this number kind of tips its hand to who might be under center for Minnesota. There's about a 2.5-point upgrade from Sam Bradford to Sean Hill. That being said, I thought Sean Hill performed pretty admirably last week. Granted, didn't find the end zone, but threw for nearly 240 yards. So if he ends up going, I think dog and under is still the correlation, still the side here. He's averaged 7.2 yards per pass attempt. That was 13th in the NFL. So Sean Hill wasn't babied by any stretch of the imagination. And kind of when you look at those huge momentum plays, that's what Mike Zimmer's it is based on. It's his defense. And so when you look at this team, you look at Adrian Peterson, rushed for 1.6 yards per carry. That's going to have to be better this week. But you wouldn't think they had a prayer to win with just 1.6 yards per attempt from Adrian Peterson last week. Sean Hill did very good on the highway. I think they're probably still the side here. But it looks like Sam Bradford might be the guy. Not 100% certain on that, but I think with this number that we're looking at, 2.5, indicates that Bradford might get the go this week.
Again, a game that changed. 10-6, Tennessee driving with a chance to maybe gain commanding lead against Minnesota. The Vikings defense steps up and really altered the dynamics of the second half that we saw last week. And will that carry into this week with Minnesota's defense? Probably one of, I don't know if I want to call them underrated defensively anymore. They might actually be overrated these days.
Yeah, they're a good defense. They're a good defense. I think that when you look at this game, I think both teams, Green Bay struggled a little bit offensively. I know they hung 27 points, but again, that offense still had some issues. You look at the all 22, and I know Jordy Nelson's back, but again, they had trouble getting off the line of scrimmage, and they were again outgained on the road. Nearly 60 yards per game last year outgained. 54 yards at Jacksonville, they were outgained. You can see why there's going to be an appetite here for the dog, and again, the under.
Aaron Rodgers can only cover so many of one football team's deficiencies. That is definitely the case. If you're not already signed up for the Bet the Board podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, or follow the podcast at Bet the Board Pod, be sure to check out bettheboardpodcast.com. for all breaking news, and we will have a very interesting read and press release available on the site for Friday from the American Gaming Association, one of our primary sponsors, talking about how the influx of gambling will only help TV ratings. I encourage everyone to check that out. And for all things legalization in sports gambling, check out their website, www.americangaming.org. You can follow them on Twitter, at Amer, A-M-E-R, Gaming, ASSN. That's at Amer Gaming ASSN. The American Gaming Association's mission to be the single most effective champion of the industry, relentlessly protecting against harmful and often misinformed public policies and paving a path for growth, innovation, and reinvestment. Well, Payne, the first chance for reinvestment this weekend comes tonight in the form of Jets-Bills, a revenge game, as the Bills were the ones who sent the Jets home for the holidays. Rex Ryan has said he deserves to be fired if they don't win the game tonight. And as Dave Mason mentioned, some sharp money on the Jets, but this number has been all over the place. You can find the Jets as a one-point favorite. You can find the Bills as a one-point favorite. You can find this game listed at Pick'em. So many injuries on both sides of the ball. I don't even begin to know where you want to go handicapping this AFC East matchup.
Yeah, it's tough. I think you kind of just look at this game and you see Cordy Glenn is down. Chantrell Henderson serving a four-game suspension, so both tackles will be out for the Bills tonight. I mentioned on the preview podcast a few weeks back about Sammy Watkins not being fully healed from his foot surgery. Suddenly he's going through foot fatigue. It's near impossible for a receiver with a serious foot issue to function at 100%. We've kind of preached about Charles Clay and the knee on this podcast since he signed the huge deal with Buffalo. It's going to be something he lives with on a weekly basis. So you're not only down your left tackle, your right tackle, but your two biggest playmakers are far less than 100%. Shady McCoy last week, he was rated the second worst back out of 52 qualifiers. He is going to have to step up for this offense because there are not a lot of weapons there. The Jets, revenge on their mind, obviously. They just needed a win in Week 17 to get into the playoffs last year. Rex spoiled that party. The Jets seem to have, or Buffalo seems to have their number. They've won five in a row in this series. So this is, to me, at this point, though, again, and I know people aren't going to like to listen to this, but I don't have a play. On one side, it's very easy to see why this number has moved, and it's taken significant sharp money. On the other side, you're now looking at this game, and I say to myself, can I really get involved in a game that's moved four and a half points against me? And it's a standalone primetime game with 75% of the tickets on the Jets. Certainly that scares the crap out of me, and it's not a recipe for long-term success. So I'm going to see myself on the sidelines as well for this one.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just the nature of the business. Sometimes we get some great investing opportunities on Thursday and Monday night standalone games. Other times the NFL schedule, not so obligatory that they give us something that we can try and invest in. Payne, I know we covered a number of games. Are there any particular matchups as we go into the final 2 minutes or so of the podcast that you wanted to hit on real quickly, or particular positions, sides, or totals that you think folks should keep their eye on this weekend?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of talked about this game a little bit. I like the Houston Texans this week. I would get out and try to lay that number as quickly as possible. I also think the money line at this point is priced very reasonably for where this line is currently. You can still lay some minus 140 in the marketplace on the money line. I think that's probably one of the better positions this week on the Houston Texans money line.
Houston Texans, Brock Osweiler, you heard it from Payne Insider. Time to jump on board what may be the best football team in the AFC South. But for myself, Todd Furman, you can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. You can follow Payne, the best NFL betting analysis you're going to find anywhere on the planet, coming to you each Monday and Thursday throughout the course of the fall, and plenty of snark on social media as well, at Payne Insider Podcast, at Bet the Board Pod. Dave Mason, our weekly Thursday guest, at Dave Mason BOL. Our producer, Sam Paniatovich, at SP Shoot, who knows his feet will be put to the fire on Monday with a full breakdown of Bears and Eagles. And of course, check out our podcast brand spanking new website, bettheboardpodcast.com. Thanks again to Outkick the Coverage as well for being our major distribution partner, and some potential news coming down the pipe that we can share with you on Monday. But best of luck this weekend with whatever wagering opportunities come your way. We'll be right back with you Monday for that preview of Bears Eagles, and of course our initial thoughts on what we saw for NFL Week 2.